Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come around your word today again. Thank you for the freedom and the opportunities that we have, as Jared has prayed. We pray that on this beautiful day, as the sun is shining on the white snow, that your light will shine in our lives, that the Holy Spirit will prepare our hearts as we hear the word that comes from you. Lord, it is a word that is not from man. It comes out of your word. We thank you that we can pray these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the fruits of the narrow way. Now, it has been broken up. It's part of our the Sermon on the Mount, and we've broken it up in different edible pieces, so to speak. So I'm encroaching a little bit on next week's verses, so to speak, but, you know, you can't really chop it off completely. So you might hear something more like that next week. But let's talk about the fruits of the narrow way. So that is in Matthew 7, verse 13 to 20. So verse 13 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who are entering through it." Now, we have to know that this letter, when Jesus spoke, he didn't speak outside somewhere to people that don't know him. He spoke to the church. He spoke to the Jews there. So these words are not meant for people that don't know Jesus or don't know faith or God. So these are just as well spoken to us. So whatever follows here is related to us. So the narrow gate. We know that the gate that we go through represents Jesus. That is the narrow gate. There's only one way to God the Father, and that is through Jesus. There are not many ways. There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. Verse 14, "But the gate is narrow," and I'm using the Amplified version, "contracted by pressure, and the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it." Now, in John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples." So, we know that the gate is Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. If you know the road to Calgary, you are not going to Calgary unless you drive that road. So, it's important that when you are traveling, that you know, I can't just know the road, I have to be traveling on it. So you have to live in accordance with those teachings. And that is what the narrow way is. So there's the narrow gate, and then there's the narrow way. So it is a progression. It is not just good to say, one day I preached, I prayed that prayer, and I accepted Jesus, but my life is not really changed. I'm still doing whatever I like. It's like when you walk over the street there and a 30-ton logging truck run you over. You will be changed. The same way, if you encounter God, you will be changed. You cannot go on as you were. So it is important to know that our lives have to change accordingly. And it looks different for different people, and as we will see as we go forward. John 8, verse 51 says, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone observes my teaching," that means lives in accordance with my message and keeps my word, "he will by no means ever see and experience death." So it's important to know that this is what is to be done. You have to live in accordance to the thing that you have encountered. You've encountered God, so you have to live according to that. James 1 verse 22 to 25 says, "But be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it." And verse 25, "But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience." Now, that is twofold. It means that you will be blessed, not only for the future, eternal life, but also in this life. And that is why being a child of God, knowing Jesus, and living according to his teachings, it will change you. It will change you. Now, if we look at the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed in Luke 17, verse 11 to 19, then Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 of them cleansed? Where are the 9? Was there no one found to return and to recognize and give thanks and praise to God except this alien?" Because the story was, it was between between Galilee and Samaria, where these 10 lepers were. So one of them was a Samaritan, the other 9 were Jews. And he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith, your trust and confidence that spring from your belief in God has restored you to health, made you whole." Now, I don't know if you know that leprosy, it's not very prominent here in the Western world, but in Africa, it's a lot of people still have leprosy there. And you've seen pictures of some of those people, maybe. It's a disease that obviously starts with sores and blisters and all kinds of bad skin infection. But it doesn't heal up like ours when we get an infection or a blister or whatever. It heals up and it may be a little scar there, but you don't know about it. But leprosy, actually, things fall off. Part of your nose fall off. Part of your fingers fall off. So it changes your whole being. And so when Jesus cleansed those lepers, he said, "Were not all 10 cleansed?" And so the one guy came back. So they went back to their priest to show them that they've been cleansed. But what it means is all the sores and the blisters and the pussy things were gone. But they still looked kind of ugly because of the remnants of the leprosy. The difference was here with this guy that came back. Jesus said, "Your faith has restored you to health, made you whole." So that means that guy actually grew back. His toes, his nose, his lips, he was made whole. And that is the difference between hearing and doing. We have to know that just by hearing something doesn't mean that it makes a difference in your life. People don't necessarily see the difference. John 12, verse 24 to 26 says, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. If it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. Anyone who loves his life loses it, but anyone who hates no love for, no concern for his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, conform wholly to my example in living and, if in need be, in dying. And wherever I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." It's important to know that the farmers around you know that has to happen. The seed has to get into the earth, has to die, to bring up a crop. And that is how our life should be. We should be really showing the fruits. Not just change me. That's not how it works. Because the two biggest commandments that Jesus said was, love God with all your heart, your strength, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So we have to show that love. We have to be kind of a blessing to people. It's not Christianity, being a follower. Well, Christianity, I'm not a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus does make a difference in this world. He makes a difference because he blesses other people. And that is how we should live. We should be making a difference. It's not a sport that you play alone. It is a team game, and that is what we need to know. This is very important going forward, especially as we see the time approaching. The world prophecies are being fulfilled right before our eyes. And the time is few. The time is little. And a lot of us that are in the church, as we will see later, where are we? We have to kind of evaluate ourselves. And I know I've been sometimes, my Izan has told me a few times, I'm like a little bit too aggressive on a few of these things. And I think I apologize if I ever offended people with my passion, because passion can become ugly sometimes. But I think it's your personality. You know, if I wanted to be an internist and say, oh, you'll get better, I'll just give you a tablet. That's just, I became a surgeon because I want to fix things. It's broken, you fix it. And sometimes your personality can get in the way a little bit of how you should live and how you should carry the fruits of the Spirit. Now, John 12, verse 43 to 47 says, for they love the approval and the praise and the glory that come from men more than the glory that comes from God. They valued their credit with men more than their credit with God. If anyone hears my teachings and fails to observe them, does not keep them, but disregards them, it's not I who judges him. For I have not come to judge and to condemn and to pass sentence and to inflict penalty on the world, but to save the world. So, we have choices. This is the nice thing about a free country like this. We have two gates that we can go through, narrow or broad. Now, some people would say, people outside the church or other religions says, we have doctrinal intolerance. That means that we are just saying just one way, and that we are narrow-minded, and that we are exclusive. But the main thing is we have to be narrow-minded with God, but broad-minded with people. And I think that is the difference. Sometimes we can be narrow-minded with people. You know, translating this narrow-mindedness of there's only one way, we bring it over to people and we say, you should do this and you're not doing that. And it's important to be broad-minded with people, because Jesus said in that previously, he didn't come to judge the world, and he could be the guy that obviously could judge, but to save it. And that's, if we are his representatives, his disciples, we have to know that that is what we have to do. We have to do the same. The word Christian in the Bible is used about 3 times in Acts, but the word disciple 269 times. So you can see what Jesus wanted us to do. You know, it's not being a Christian, but being a disciple. And that is what we need to do. A disciple means an apprentice of. So that is how we should live. We should look like him. We are his ambassador. So the other thing is, they say we're not tolerant. So tolerance is superficial, as we know. But love is not. And that is where it's important. You can tolerate without love, but you cannot love without tolerance. And that is important that we always remember this. Second choice, two ways, narrow way, broad way. Now, we know that freedom is not the absence of restrictions. Same, if you look at a goldfish in a bowl, I've heard the story about this kid that wanted this goldfish to be free. He's restricted in this bowl. It's so bad for him. So what he did, he threw it out on the floor, on the ground, to make this goldfish free. But obviously that didn't work. He was free, but it wouldn't suit his nature. So that is important to know. Freedom is not the absence of restrictions. It is boundaries within your nature. And that is what we have to remember when we look at people and when we get into contact with people. Two destinations. Those ways, this narrow way, the gate first, then the narrow way. And there are, unfortunately, and as we will see later, people go through the narrow gate, and then they stall, or they just go on the broad way. They pass through the gate. Jesus, I know Jesus. I prayed the prayer. Everything I did, jumped through the hoops that somebody sometime told me to do. But now I'm either stalled on this road, or I decided to go on the broad way. So there, it's important to know this. These are a progression. It's a journey, as we will see later. Where to? Heaven or hell? And that is the challenge when you evangelize people, when you have to talk to people. If somebody doesn't believe there's life after death, it's very tough to tell them, you know, heaven or hell. That's the first thing, is to make people believe or let them have that insight. There is life after death. And there's only two places to go. One is heaven, the other one is hell. Now, on this road, you have two behaviors. You have the doers, and you have the sayers. So, same thing as here. We can say all we like. Like Jesus said, you see your brother or somebody out there hungry or without clothes. You say, oh, I hope you get food, or go and get some clothes, or let it be good with you. That doesn't help that person. So, to do or to say. Say doesn't help, do helps. Two types of crowds. Disciples on the one side, and the world on the other side. We have to choose for ourselves where we are. And this is why we go and we come together in a church. That's why church is important. You can't not come to church. Some people say, oh, I don't like all those hypocrites in the church. That's fine. There are, obviously, but there are. You get sometimes message. You should get a message. The Holy Spirit should be working. You should be ministered. One person minister to another one. So you should be in the church. You're either in the world or you're a disciple. And then the two foundations, which will be covered next week by Ken. Building your house on the rock, on the sand. When the storms come, what will happen? Will your house stand to withstand the storm that's coming? So, there's a recipe. Requirement to get to eternal life or heaven. First of all, you must enter through the narrow gate. So you must, as we sang a few times today, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And you must profess your acceptance of his sacrifice on the cross. That is the gate. You have to go through that. You can't get there without that. And it must be a personal thing. You must enter this gate alone. I cannot let although I love my kids way beyond, I cannot take them with me to heaven. They have to make their own decision. You cannot, I'm in the church, I grew up in the church. I'm going to go to heaven. If you haven't had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and made that decision, you will not get there. It's small enough. You can't go with two or three buddies through it. You have to, or the church with you. You have to go through that gate alone. And you must enter this gate with difficulty. We know that it is easier to do the stuff, you know, be in control of my own life. I know a lot of the time that's what holds people back. Oh, I'm not in control. Somebody else is in control. God's in control. He tells me what to do. Or These are the way I should live. I'm not in control. I can't do what I want to do. So it is not easy, but it's that choice that you have to do. It is a choice. And you must enter it naked without baggage. Can't bring stuff with. Can't say, oh, I'm going to bring my worldly stuff with, or I can, you know, this is important for me to, like that young rich man said, oh, I've done everything, but all my money and stuff needs to go with to follow you. No, it's you alone, and it is without baggage. And then, fifth one, you must enter it in submission to the narrow way. That means you must walk the talk. That is important. You must let the Holy Spirit work with your life and work with you. So the steps of salvation is redemption. Jesus provided the ransom from the penalty of sin. Redemption means you have bought somebody. You have paid a price. That is what redemption is. So, and Jesus did that, paying the ransom on the cross. What did he do through that ransom? He reconciliated us to God, putting us in right standing with God. So those are the two things that Jesus did. And you know, the Trinity is involved in this whole process. That's why it's a Trinity, and that's why we cannot just pray to Jesus or pray to the Holy Spirit or pray to God. It's a three in one, and they all have an influence in our lives. Justification. The Father does that. He delivers us from the penalty of sin because he put the penalty down there and said, this is the penalty of sin. You will die. You will be forever be apart from me. You will not inherit eternal life. That's why he sent Adam and Eve out of the garden and put an angel there to prevent Adam and Eve to come back and eat the fruits of life. So he delivers us from the penalty of sin. Sanctification. This is the part where the road is. The Holy Spirit, that's what he does. Delivers us from the power of sin. And we all know we are still under the power of sin. It's a process. You haven't arrived. That is definitely. If anybody thinks he's arrived, you're far from arrival. He only arrives once you get up there. And hopefully soon when the rapture comes. But until that time, we are still under the power of sin. And as we go and spend time in the Word, we spend time in fellowship with others because we can learn a lot from people around us. I know somebody that has... that has really had a big influence on our lives. Has been Eric. That is somebody that when you spend time with him, he really built you up. So it's important that we do find people in our lives that will speak into our lives. And we find it right here. Sometimes a friend is closer than a relative. And then glorification, the Father. He does that. He delivers us from the presence of sin when he gets us up there. That is the final aim that we have, is to make sure that we get to the Father. Then we will be glorified. We'll get a glorified body and we will live with him forever. So, verse 16 to 21. You will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy tree bears good fruit, worthy of admiration. But sickly trees bear bad, worthless fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad or worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So remember, this has been written to me and you, not to people that doesn't come to church. It's been written to us. How are our fruits? Sometimes we can see fruits here, people showing their fruits here. Sometimes we don't see it because they bear their fruit somewhere else. So I know sometimes you can be critical of somebody saying, I never see you here, or I never see you do this. But they might be bearing fruit somewhere much better than you are bearing fruit sitting here every Sunday in the church. So it's important that we do not judge and that we keep an open mind with these things and know it's only for yourself. You're not there to judge other people. We're not there to tell this one or that one, you should be doing this or that. We can encourage each other and build each other up, but we should not ever judge. So what are those fruit like? Well, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in Galatians 5, verse 22, the work which His presence within us accomplishes is love. We've got a little rhyme in our home that we to remember that. LJPPKGGFS. That's a nice thing to remember. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And that is a tough, that's a small list, but a very tough list. And each and every one of us knows at which we show more. Some of them we show less. And it is important that we cannot get there. It's a process. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit to help us do that. Day after day, we have to be open. We have to be in the Word. We have to pray. We have to seek His face. You cannot know the Holy Spirit or Jesus or God without spending time with Him. If you don't see your spouse for years, how would you have a relationship with her? So it's important. We have to spend time. You cannot just do it once a week here at church. Because verse 22 to 23 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And these are like pastors, the guys that are doing all this preaching and the singing and, you know, these worship songs and people that are doing great things. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it's important to know that you can be doing a lot of stuff, but only you know if you have made that personal decision. And yes, these things can be in your life, but it's important to know that the question is not if you know Jesus. The question is, does He know you? Even the demons, whenever He cast them out, they knew Him. They knew about Him and they knew what He could do. So it's not good enough. It's not good enough to know Jesus, to come to church and to do all the things, but your life doesn't show the fruit. And that is the biggest thing that we need to, in these times, need to realize. We have to bear the fruits. We have to bear the fruit of what we are. If you're a fig tree, you will bring figs forth. If you don't have fruit, if you have thorns, you're probably not a fig tree. That's very important. We have to really look at ourselves, and we have to. That's why we come here on Sundays as well, coming to the table, the Lord, the breaking of bread. The idea there is to self-examine and to remember the Lord, to take those sacraments. It's not going to take you to heaven, but it is one of those things that has to be done. It's one of those things that Jesus said, do that. Do that in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you that you have spoken. Lord, it's something that only the Holy Spirit can awaken in our hearts. The words are not from man. Lord, it is definitely not enough. It has to come from within. And that is where we pray that the Holy Spirit will really strengthen us, will indwell in us, and Lord, that we will make the effort to pursue you. Lord, because the most important thing is that one day we will stand before you and you will say, come in, my faithful servant. You have been obedient, you have been loyal. Come into my presence. Lord, we don't want to hear that day, I never knew you. So let us make that decision and make that self-evaluation. Let that be the way that we go forward, by looking into our hearts, spending time before you on our knees, in the Word, and we make sure that you know us. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit that will help us on this way, on this narrow way, to bear the fruits. Because, Lord, we cannot do it without you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.